Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 21st in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great restorative tools we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth using the principles that made America great in the first place. That is morality in the people and the checks and balances of the supreme law of the land. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, our website, libertyroundtable.com. Live and on demand radio, free at your fingertips. Our syndicator, libertynewsradio.com, for our award-winning talk show and many other around-the-clock broadcasts at your fingertips free. If you want to donate and help us grow, libertyroundtable.com, libertynewsradio.com. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. We had our buddy on Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, and ronpaulinstitute.org. And we talked about States Act and the 10th Amendment. We really need to stand up with the checks and balances, folks. Remember, the federal government has a very limited and defined role. That is articulated in the supreme law of the land. The government has no more authority than we, the people, what we consent to by the consent of the governed, is the way the Declaration of Independence puts it. Delegated authority, limited power to the federal government, very defined. Broad powers to the states and to the people, respectively. Look at the 10th Amendment for guidance on that dual sovereignty reality. The moral of this story, ladies and gentlemen, is clear. If your state passes a law that nullifies federal law, firearms laws, or domestic issues of any kind, you better have a legislature with backbone, a governor that will stand by it, and a sheriff that will stand by its citizens. Otherwise, you'll get overrun by your federal belligerent government, violating its proper limited constitutional delegated role, okay? The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, the federal government has no constitutional authority to promote or fund or back abortions. They have no authority to criminalize marijuana. The federal government has very limited defined scope. Go read your supreme law, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about an ERP, or I guess a URP, Central Committee Meeting Report. They talked a lot about EMP, Electronic Magnetic Pulse Warfare. And there are three main electrical grids covering the United States, one in the east, one in the west, and one in Texas. They say that if we have an EMP or a series of bombs in the atmosphere, then it might take our electrical grid down and leave America in chaos, powerless for months at a time. Could be disaster. They also talked, we talked yesterday about mixing genders in bathrooms. It's crazy. This judge in Oregon, guy's name is Marco Hernandez. He recently ruled that boys must be allowed to use the girls' locker room and vice versa. And it's just a fiasco in government schools. Just out of control stuff, folks. We're leaving our morality, our common sense, our dignity, our tried and true principles way behind. And we're going to reap the real whirlwind if we continue down this road. The judge offered an alternative to parents who disagree with his same-sex bathroom policy. Send your kids to private school, he says, which I think is great news. I agree. We've been saying this for 25-plus years. Send your kids to private school and or homeschool. I should say homeschool and or private school. I would even prefer homeschool. Here's the problem, though. Even when you put your kids in private school and or send your kids or put your kids in homeschool or send your kids to private school, you're still funding the government schools. When are we going to stop being forced to fund the opposition of the enemy? That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live, brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or smile and dial 801-669-2211 and say, Raw Honey, please, sir. And Kurt will get right on it, deliver it directly to your door. Tastes phenomenal. Kurt at libertyroundtable.com. Hour two yesterday, we talked about Donald Trump and the GOP are exploding. The growth of deficit spending, writes Chuck Baldwin. Check out the column at libertyroundtable.com. Incredible breakdown. We stand for the flag, a T-shirt for a high school cheerleading team. It's called politically divisive and even racist, according to The Blaze. What did the shirt read in Dodge County? We stand for the flag, kneel for the cross. That's Indian pride. They're the Indians, don't you know? But that's all racist, and they're literally shutting down the shirt. It's amazing. I want one of those shirts, though. Trump's military parade has been postponed after budget concerns. Government officials say that it could cost more than $90 million. Now, the mainstream press is in one of two camps on this polarized, you know, issue of a, quote, military parade. One camp says, oh, my gosh, Donald's evil. He's a dictator. He's crazy. He's going to spend us into oblivion and just go crazy war on us. That's one side. That's the liberal extremists that hate Donald. The other side says, if you're not hawkish, if you don't stand for war and the display of our military, you're weak on national defense. Both sides are psychotic lies, folks. The truth is, in the middle, we have had military parades in America, big time, throughout the decades. Justly so in many cases. And whenever we've had military parades, most of the time, it has to do with the ending of wars and how delighted we are to defend our nation, but how delighted we are to get out of wars and to be done with war. Coming home is the good part, is the point. And so they're literally using this as a manipulative tool against the people because people don't know history. What a shame on both sides of the coin. Shame on you people. Stand for the truth. Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop, he's the guy in Colorado that won at the Supreme Court, right? Well, now he sued the governor of Colorado and the state of Colorado, alleging the state discriminated against him. Well, I pray he's successful there. We've got to stop these fiasco folks that are denying us our First Amendment and our right of conscience and self-determination. They've got to be stopped, folks. Man stabs, tries robbing pizza delivery man. But the pizza delivery guy had a gun in his car and turned the tables quickly. He had a rob me not and stab me not, a gun. The criminal had to leave. See, guns in the hands of good guys makes society polite, doesn't it, folks? CNN commentator, this lady's name is Angela Rye. She agrees with Governor Andrew Cuomo that America was never great. What a shame on them. I think America was phenomenal and still is. We need to turn some things around and stand for morality. We need to use the checks and balances to reduce the size and scope and breadth and depth of government, no doubt about it. But let's be clear, America is the most phenomenal country on the face of the earth. Univision host, this guy's name is Enrique Acevedo, suggests that Jeff Sessions is a hypocrite because he ate at a Mexican restaurant. Just imagine, you can't even eat at a Mexican restaurant these days, or you're a racist if you want to stand for, what, security at the border? Imagine wanting to promote legal behavior and stop drugs and crime and sex and violence. Imagine that. You don't even dare eat at a Mexican restaurant if you stand for the rule of law. I mean, these people are insane, folks. But again, we need more of a presence in the media if we're going to turn the tide of this abuse and manipulation. That's why you need to help us at libertyroundtable.com. Donate today. Black voter support of Donald Trump, near 36%, according to a new poll. They say it's almost double last year. I think that's phenomenal news. I think the mainstream press doesn't want to tell you this tale. But I also think, why are we carving out and discussing black voters? That's pretty racist, isn't it? Why don't we just discuss the American voter? Shouldn't the American people have the same interest at heart? We all want to be left alone. We want lower taxes. We want the proper role of limited government. We want to live free. Seems like all Americans should want the same thing. We don't need to divide people up by the what? Pigment in their skin? Their skin tone? But that's what they do for political votes, huh? Well, I got good news, folks. Michelle Wolf, she had a talk show, pretty much a pornographic female comedian going on. She was backed by Netflix, but her show did so poorly that it's been canceled by Netflix after 3 months. That's great news. We also talked about empty hotels, idle boats, what happens when Ireland upsets communists. So there you have it. Kind of an interesting, what do you want to call it, do and don't do about who you get involved with and who you get your money from and anything else. Venezuela launches one of the greatest currency devaluations in history. They're chopping off zeros by the... Wow. Scary stuff. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is still available up online at LibertyRoundtable.com. Tell all your friends, spread the word, donate today. We'd greatly appreciate it. We've got day jobs. We're not begging you to fund our families, but we are asking you to help us grow our presence as the Widow's Mite Radio Network takes on the mainstream press like never before. We want to reject their gatekeeping agenda, and we want to report the news the networks refuse to use and be fair on all sides of the issue. Our motives, our agenda is absolutely clear. That is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. All right, that's a recap. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
All right. Guy by the name of Conrad Wilson kicks it off today with an incredible story. Headline says, FBI agent's trial in Portland leaves key question unanswered. Now, this is a very serious, serious discussion indeed. The mainstream press all too willing to report when it goes their way, Kurt, but not when it goes our way. We'll talk about it in seconds.
Sam. Yeah,
quick pause. We'll get right to it. But I'm telling you right now, the question becomes, what did the jury even get for their instructions? And some of these discussions will come to mind. Kurt will have the breakdown from Conrad's column in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby on your radio, breaking it down. News the networks refuse to use. So it's a continuation of kind of the Bundy situation in the Malheur Wildlife Refuge scenario. We're talking about Lavoie Finicum. We're talking about literally FBI agents firing their guns, telling lies, going to dishonest lengths to cover up their abuses, etc., etc., etc. Now in court, but I don't know what the jury got. Kurt, with the details.
Well, Sam, it's amazing to me to see the key thing that I see from this story, and headline reads: FBI agent's trial in Portland leaves key question unanswered. And they say a federal jury in Portland acquitted. That means let him go. Said he wasn't guilty. FBI Special Agent W. Joseph Astarita. In a trial that at its core was about law enforcement accountability. That's what they say. Prosecutors argued unsuccessfully that Mr. Astarita, a member of the FBI's elite hostage rescue team, I always think it's kind of interesting, hostage rescue team. In this case, I don't remember any hostages in this situation. But anyway, they say he fired, the prosecutors argued that he fired his weapon twice during a key turning point in the 2016 occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. And they say the acquittal has left an open question as to who took those shots. Because when you look at the whole story, you find out nobody really knows how many shots were taken. Some say nine, some say more. They quote Ryan Bundy in the story, way down in the story, saying that, hey, I don't know how many shots were, you know, they were taken. They say this whole thing is all focused around the two shots. They say the source of those two shots remain a mystery, despite a three-week trial that could have answered that question. For those, they say, in the self-described patriot community, I think that should be all of us because we should all be patriots. But they say the verdict was a disappointment. And they quote what they call an extremist group's researcher, Mark Pitkovich. He's with what's called the Anti-Defamation League. And they say, here's what he said. He said, obviously, they're not happy about it. A lot of people in the Patriot movement believe there was a deliberate attempt to target Lavoy Finicum and that these extra shots, so to speak, are just evidence of it. You know, and during, they go on to say that this guy said the Patriot movement saw the trial as a chance for justice. Now, one of the FBI guys said, well, you know, if you think that this whole courtroom thing is, I guess you could say, kangaroo court, then why did the Bundys, et cetera, get off? I think the question that ought to be asked is, why were they held so long in jail without bail or whatever else? And when they did get, acquitted after like 2 years in jail, there's no real accountability for the government holding them all that time. Anyway, it's pretty interesting to me to see the whole story and, or at least in this case, see the situation where they say, well, there were like nine shots taken and, you know, there's really no accountability for the government once again. But they do say, don't worry, because we at the FBI, we're going to look into this and we're going to make sure that you know, they're going to conduct an internal review to determine lessons learned, whether any agency policies were violated, and if any agents should be disciplined. Well, I mean, you know, nothing about the killing of what I'd call an innocent man. So, anyway, the FBI, they say, declined any comment on verdict or the next steps for Astarita. As for the agency's inquiry, it could be the last chance to answer the question of who shot at Finicum that day.
And here's the problem I have with it all, Kurt. Yeah. As you wisely point out, what was this, a hostage rescue team?
That's exactly right.
All right, so you wisely point out there were no hostages, right?
Yeah, so why bring the hostage rescue team?
Well, here's the other problem. Who did they rescue, Kurt? I thought they murdered one guy. and took other folks against their will. And they let the other people go because they committed no crime. So the other people in the car with Finnegan literally got let go, right?
Now, in the standard media world, you'd call this an assault team, Sam, because they certainly were equipped with assault weapons, and they conducted an assault, in my opinion.
You got to kind of wonder, what instructions did the jury get? What details did they get? This, to me, it seems like one of the most simple things to find out. Did he fire his weapon, and did he lie about it, Kurt? Isn't that what the discussion is?
Well,
what are the three counts in the story that they say? What do they say he... What are the counts that he not guilty of?
Yeah, they give three. They say, well, making a false statement, not guilty.
Okay, now, by the way, that's lying, folks. And if you're in court, it's like perjury, right, Kurt? Because you swear you'll tell the truth and nothing but the truth kind of stuff, right?
Right. Count two was making a false statement. They say not guilty. Count three, obstruction of justice.
So if you literally shoot your gun as an FBI agent, and then you lie about it or whatever. So I don't understand how they couldn't come to the conclusion. They say not guilty, but I just wonder what instructions the jury was given. In other words, what bar was set? And that's kind of where the concern starts to come. The other point about this, in my opinion, it's a sad day because there's zero accountability. We're not going to have any confidence in government when this happens, Kurt, when they literally go and kill a man like Lavoie Finicum, or kill a woman like Vicki Weaver, or kill the Branch Davidians or whatever else. You just get this anger towards government and literal hatred towards government. Now, I'm not suggesting that we want to have that attitude. I'm saying it's hard not to mistrust government and have that attitude when there's just zero accountability. You know, clearly you had a Hoskey Restage team guy fire his gun. Clearly he's lying about it. And clearly, hey, he covered it up. And now they're trying to say, let's have accountability here so that stops. And the jury even is participating in letting this guy go. Now, the jury, I don't believe, had the fair information that they needed. Nevertheless, though, again, this just breeds mistrust and breeds suspicion and breeds concern and fear of government, Kurt. It just does.
And the deputy commander, according to the story of what's called this hostage rescue team that I would call the assault team, deployed this group to Oregon the day, that was in charge of this whole thing. He said, it was disappointing that Joe Astorita was prosecuted without any eyewitness testimony, without any physical evidence, without much of a case, he said. Now, I would simply ask him this simple question. Didn't you guys set this all up so that you didn't have any eyewitness testimony, that you didn't have any physical evidence?
Yes, remember, they're the ones showing the grainy videos. And then when we ask for more videos, they say, well, you don't need any.
Basically, they put it in what we would call in the cowboy world a kill canyon. In other words, hey, there's no way to get out of there without being killed. And that's what the FBI assault team did, in my opinion.
Well, there you have it. The last tidbit on this that I think is super sad. At the end, they tell you they do know who killed Finicum too, Kurt.
At the end of this article?
Yeah, they say the Oregon State Police killed him. It's like in the middle, two-thirds of the article down. They say this guy fired his shots, but he wasn't the one that killed him. The Oregon State Police are who killed Lavoie.
Well, it's pretty interesting to see. And when they're quoting Ryan Bundy in this story, they say one of the occupation's leaders, Ryan Bundy, was in Finicum's truck during the traffic stop and was hit during the shooting. The acquittal's not the problem. The problem is these men set up to murder and to kill us. Yeah, that's a little bit of a problem.
Imagine a guy that got shot that lived saying that when his buddy's dead. Are we going to take that into account? Did he get to testify to the jury, ladies and gentlemen? See, that's what I'm talking about. I wonder what the jury got. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
No, Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to hear
that.
So
since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, you heard the phrase, the doctor is in. Actually, everything's turned upside down. The doctor ain't in this time, Kurt.
Yeah, the doctor's out. You know, at least according to this story, Sam, it looks like the headline reads, why physicians are leaving after the doctor is out, by the way. Why physicians are leaving their practices to pursue other careers. After 20 years, I quit medicine, and none of my colleagues were surprised. In fact, they all said they wish they could do the same. That's what one doctor said. Nicole Spector's the author, and she starts out and says, this week's news that New York University will offer free tuition to all its medical school students. I didn't know that. I mean, I never heard that news, you know, before. You'd think that'd be kind of a big news story, but I didn't hear that little piece of news, by the way. And they say it's in the hope of encouraging more doctors to choose lower-paying specialties. Offered, they say, hope to those wishing to pursue a career in the field. Now, they say they still expect quite a doctor shortage. They're expecting somewhere between 42,000 and 120,000. Those are rough numbers. By the year 2030, that'll be short. But they kind of give some insight as to why they say, you know, young people are not choosing the medical careers, if you will. They say in these other areas of, like, oh, for example, being an engineer or, you know, doing the whole software thing, the computer world and all that kind of stuff, they say there's, well, a lot of kind of cool things about that, because you can typically live in a really nice place, whereas if you're a doctor and you're just starting out and you got to go into residency and all that other stuff, you get sent to typical places like Middle America, you know, kind of like flyover land and not those fancy pants places that, you know, maybe you want to go when you're a young person, I guess. Sam, I thought it was interesting, if you get down into the meat of the story, way down in there, it says graduating med school doesn't mean you'll get into a residency. There aren't enough residency slots for medical grads. So you have that population of people who have an MD but didn't practice for that reason. There's this bottleneck effect. And then they say the mounting bureaucracy. And I think that's one of the big things. One of the parts they mention is a thing called EHRs. Do you know what? Did you know what an EHR is, or do you?
No, sir. I have no idea.
They say that stands for electronic health records, and they say old school doctors who don't pride themselves on their computer skills, like they mentioned one doctor who said that he was trying to save some kid, but since he didn't have the right EHR, here's what he said. He said, one night a child I was treating had a seizure, and I couldn't get the medicine to enable them to breathe because their chart wasn't in the system yet. This kid was fixing to die, and I, the doctor, couldn't get the medicine. It was demoralizing, you know, and what you've got is these, you know, controls over things, whereas the old days of, you know, let's take care of the patient, you know, without of the system, is kind of past, you know. I guess in some ways there are some good news, Sam, and that is maybe this will kind of force a change in the system. But I figured you might have some comments about this whole medical world here.
Well, in my mind, here's what's fascinating, Kurt. You got this idea in America that we pitched forever that if you want to be somebody, then you've got to go get some massive government-backed, you know, certifiable degree. So, I mean, if you really want to be somebody, if you want to make something of yourself, you got to be a doctor or a lawyer. And you and I, 2 or 3 years ago, covered some articles where they were saying, hey, lawyers are basically getting out of law school, passing the bar, and then they don't have a job. Or that their pay is getting whittled down. There's just too many lawyers in the field. And law schools are incredibly expensive. And lawyers are having trouble, you know, landing jobs to pay back their student loans and their debt. And now we're seeing the same thing with doctors. And really what this is nothing more than a symptom, Kurt. This is a symptom of overregulation, of government funding education for everyone, so that the commodity just becomes so much... what do you want to call it? So much demand that there's been trouble with supply. And then the problem becomes, now you got a supply and demand bottleneck when it comes to residencies. So they've been able to, you know, fund with taxpayer dollars so many people going to medical school that now, hey, they don't have the real world residency capabilities to handle it all. Or if you do get a residency, you got to go to some podunk town that you don't even want to live in, and people are just sick of it. And what this is a result of, Kurt, is government meddling in the affairs of the economics. Government creating a manipulation of the supply and demand reality. Okay, and this push, this relentless push that you got to have an education, so much so that government backing everybody's education with funding is justifiable. And so in my opinion, this doctor scenario is nothing but a symptom. The same attorney scenario that we covered a couple of years ago is nothing but a symptom. And what you have is these people that have these massive debts. And then when they get out of medical school, and if they can find a residency and they get ready to rock and roll in their career, they're struggling to pay back the debt because, hey, You got Obamacare and everything else and government manipulation of Medicaid and Medicare literally ratcheting down how much doctors can make. They have massive insurance to prevent lawsuits and to keep themselves free of this regulation. And they're not even practicing medicine as they envisioned to help people and to love people and to be fascinated and with and carry out the science. They're just regulated down and ratcheted down with these, in my opinion, complications. And then at the end of the day, they're going, I don't even have job satisfaction. I've got this massive debt going on. One guy, for example, in this story says, be happy. Life's too short. In other words, I don't have time to go work towards being a doctor for 20 years and then have this massive debt to pay off till I'm, 50 plus if my health is good. And that's kind of the problem here. And so I submit to you that what you've got to do is say, hey, how can I have job satisfaction first? How can I support my family? How can I enjoy what I do? And it's a big battle. The answer lies in less regulation. The answer lies in government getting out of this idea that it's essential that everybody has education dollars. Okay? And we've got to start to do that. And as soon as we do, I think that the supply and demand reality will heal itself, Curtis, as the government gets out of it. If the regulation and the red tape starts to reduce and go away, doctors and people who truly got into the medical profession for the right reasons will be happy being there. But I see that we're going the wrong direction. I see more government regulation. I see more manipulation in these arenas. And I submit to you that it's lawyers a couple of years ago, doctors today, and who will it be tomorrow? The answer is whoever takes more money for education. The more money you take for education, the more likely you won't be satisfied because you'll have this massive stress debt hanging over you. You'll be begging for debt forgiveness. These areas, the more regular, the more high level the quote education and the certifications become, the greater regulation seems to monitor every aspect of it. The more people struggle for careers and look for different alternatives to make a buck in this ever inflation backed society, the more you'll have again just another surge of another profession struggling. I don't know which professions will be next. But it'll be engineers, and it'll be people with PhDs, and it will be, again, the more education, the more regulation, the more, in my opinion, the moral hazard you start to see. And so I would submit primarily, Kurt, that this is just a symptom. People are just not happy for those reasons. And I think it's a sad tale, and so we're going to have a massive doctor shortage. Then what's going to happen, Kurt?
Then you'll probably have an oversupply. In this last paragraph, they quote a couple of different doctors that I think, kind of sum it all up. And I think you've hit on a lot of good points, Sam. One, they quote Dr. Amy Baxter that told NBC News, she said, after 20 years, I quit medicine. And none of my colleagues were surprised. In fact, they all said they wished they could do the same. She said, I began to feel like an easily replaceable cog in the healthcare machine with the enforcement of these EHRs. I had to spend more time as a scribe. One night a child, and we talked about the child she was treating, but then she left pediatric emergency medicine to head a company. And, later they found out she had a little more time and she got to know her own child, etc. I mean, life is too short to live it like crazy stuff like
but
that.
But she points to the regulation that I spoke to as well. All right, Liberty Roundtable right. Live.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, looks like Amazon, I told you that they were subsidized by the government for a long time by the taxpayer, but everybody kind of wondered how, and there's 66 ways from Sunday they get this done. One of them highlighted now. Kurt?
Well, yeah, the headline reads, Amazon isn't paying its electric bills. You might be. And Maya Fraser's the author of Bloomberg piece. They talk about a place there in Gainesville, Virginia, where, you know, this little, an 87-year-old lady had united with in her small town with others and kind of doing a battle about, you know, trying to beat Amazon. They didn't want to put this above ground power line straight through a Civil War battlefield, and so apparently you know, they kind of went around it, and I guess after a number of years of petitions and protests in front of this gated data center, they well agreed to bury that part of the line along a nearby highway. And they say it was at an estimated cost of $172 million. Within a month, they say, the utility and state legislator had passed on the cost to, well, this lady and fellow Virginians instead of, you know, having the good folks.
In other words, they made
Amazon
a deal where the taxpayer soaks the cost. Then if you read the Fox News story that quotes or highlights the Bloomberg study, are you paying Amazon's electricity bills, writes Fox News. And it goes into, hey, in many municipalities, the rates that Amazon pays for their electricity bills, Kurt, are hidden. They're like classified, and you can't know what they are. And so what you've got is you've got governments all across the country literally rewarding Amazon and literally forcing the American people to pay the Amazon's electricity bills. And this is what I mean by government kind of backs in and creates an uneven, dishonest playing field. And that's why when these companies, you know, you say, well, Sam, the private company has the right to do what they want. Not when they get these special privileges and manipulate. You get a moral hazard in society. How can I start a company that, for example, would allow you to, you know, buy and sell products online? Can I compete with that?
Good point.
So the problem here is this: these details. Anyway, when you study it, you find out the government funds and backs Amazon and Google and Facebook and Twitter and Microsoft and all these big companies, Kurt, in modern day that have gotten too big, have these special government privileges or special government, I don't know what you call it, but it's pulling the lever in favor of the few at the expense of the many.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, it's exactly right, and you know, there was a story the other day where some big government contract was coming up to you know, have a bunch of storage or whatever, and Amazon was the main one that was going to be doing that.
Yeah, let me give you some headlines to highlight the point.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon is thriving thanks to taxpayer dollars, writes the New Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they are. The Amazon effect, quote, how taxpayers are funding the disruption. This is Business Journal. Right? Jeff Bezos built a net worth of over $85 billion. Right? Are tax break subsidies, people wonder. Okay? Amazon getting huge subsidy from U.S. Postal Service. That's what Donald talked about, right, Kurt?
Yep.
Fortune writes that piece, Kurt, just so you know who we're talking about here. So now you got Postal in bed with them. Postal's losing billions and billions and billions. But they're rewarding Amazon at the expense of the rest of us. Now you got electricity and tax breaks. Bezos and the Amazon subsidy, writes the Wall Street Journal. How many taxpayer dollars is an Amazon warehouse job worth, Kurt?
Good point, Sam.
That's Huffington Post that asks that. Even the liberal rags get it, or at least point to it. Right?
Yep.
Critics of the tax breaks say funding the, you know, Jeff Bezos of the Amazon are literally creating the demise of their own local retailers by subsidizing Amazon. Next one. Amazon receives $241 million in subsidies for warehouse positioning. So you bring a warehouse in, big state and federal or state and local governments giving big money to Amazon. Why governments are giving billions of dollars in tax breaks to Apple and Amazon? This is Market Watch with this one, Kurt. Amazon made $5.6 billion in profits last year, and then they say and reported paid very little tax. Minimum tax on that bounty, ladies and gentlemen. Your tax dollars subsidize Amazon. Are the jobs worth it, writes Bloomberg? I mean, all you got to do is type in Amazon funded by taxpayer, and you begin to get all these headlines that pay dirt. And explain, Kurt.
I remember, Sam, when I was running for office down, where we used to live, and I got a question from somebody as to how I would, try to attract new business for jobs, and that kind of thing. And, I simply said, well, hey, we'll lower the taxes on everybody and make it so that, individuals that are already here that have businesses as well as in homeowners, everybody here will pay less taxes and that would attract it. And I thought, well, that would just be fair because you're doing the same thing to everybody. And yet what typically
you does, don't know how to bring home the bacon, buddy.
Yeah. What is typically done is, if they've already got some sucker, they want to keep their costs high, and then they're going to attract some new meat, I guess you will, but some, killer bargains to that person. And many times that's just done at the expense of the existing ones who then have a hard time competing. And you see the older ones going away simply because, the new guy's got all the cool advantages now,
All right, the next headline says this. Amazon close to breaking Walmart record for subsidies, Kurt. So now it's a battle between the big boys who can get the most as they fleece the taxpayer and governments everywhere. So Amazon's about to beat Walmart. So now Walmart's in bed with it. Apple, and it goes on. All these companies. It's hard to know how to think about this, but that's where the battle lines are being drawn, unfortunately. All right, Netflix, Kurt's in the news. By the way, they've been given a big old government bailout, too. All these companies have.
Good point. Netflix has now got rid of what they call their Let's see, it's called User Reviews. I've never done anything on there, but now they turned them off and deleted them. Now, I was going to ask you about this, Sam.
Kurt, what if I mean, 50 Shades of Grey bad, Anne of Green Gables good? What if I say that stuff?
Well,
pretty much shows I'm a bigot, right?
Yeah, and of course.
Sexist, misogynist, hater.
And what I want to know, Sam, is do you think they have any way in their system to alter those, you know, like little notes you put up that says you don't really like something if they want to take out your, you know, thumbs down, if you will?
Well, Kurt, we know this. Whether it's intentional or not is debatable, but we know that it happens over and over and over, that their algorithms are, well, missing the mark and need updating is how they say it, right, Kurt? We know that happens all the time. We've documented it 66 ways from Sunday. It's kind of like when I tell you that Amazon or, you know, some of these solar companies or whatever. See, I got a problem with solar, not because I have a problem with the technology, but because I have a problem with the way government's manipulating the technology. Same thing with Amazon. And I don't have any problem with these companies getting big on their own. Mm-hmm. I have every problem with them getting big at my expense. Whether I want to be involved or not, right? I got a problem with that.
Good point.
And that's kind of what we're talking about here. I love solar technology. I think it could be great if the government would get out of it. I think we could really build a better mousetrap and we could deliver it to your door and people would get off the grid. But the government doesn't want people off the grid, Kurt.
Good point.
So what they do is they back into this discussion about how they're trying to help you get solar. But what they're really doing is creating a moral hazard, muddying the water, tampering with the supply and demand, regulating to the umpth degree to the point where it'll never be successful at getting people off the grid. What it will do is supplement the grid so that they can shift the cost to you to help build the grid and so that they can stay in control. To them, it's not about money. It's about control. And, okay, but if we really had solar left alone in the private sector, we could get completely off the grid. That's exactly what they don't want. And that's why they keep meddling in it. Because they want to ensure that it can't get you off the grid, that all it can do is make you look good and help subsidize the grid. In other words, solar's good if you stay on the grid. Solar's bad if you get off the grid.
Yeah, good point.
Now, that's dishonest. It's not true, but that's how they force it down our throats. Mm-hmm. And that's why I have a problem with it. Right?
Yep.
Anyway, so I guess they're shutting down these user reviews because, they don't want to hear from you and me, Kurt, about what we like and dislike anymore?
Well, I think, that makes some things look bad, Sam, and if they've got certain things they want us to watch. They don't want, input from your neighbor telling you, hey, that wasn't good. Don't watch that. Just, you know, watch it all as far as I can tell. But, you know, they say it's just something that's not used much. And so
they
don't really need it anymore.
No one keeps track of the reviews, huh?
Yeah.
All right. The CEO, Jack Dorsey, CEO of Twitter's in the news. Kurt, he has quite an interesting admission, doesn't he, Kurt?
Well, yeah. He basically says, I fully admit our bias is more left-leaning. So it's nice to see somebody admitting that. But, we say we're all for God, family, and country. It's very seldom that you're going to find any, quote, news people that are going to admit their biases, if you will. And nice to see this.
Amen. Hey, Kurt, are you left-leaning?
I'm kind of, I try to be, leaned right, straight up. You know what I mean?
See, I don't lean left and I don't lean right. I lean constitutional and I lean moral. To me, these aren't political issues to be played in a left-right paradigm of deception. These are scenarios where, you know what? Morality. There's nothing political. It's all moral, in my humble opinion. I don't lean left. I don't lean right. I stand for God, family, and country, and I stand for the protection of life, liberty, and property. And I don't want to get caught into those labels and that manipulation of attacking the other guy or any of those things. I just want to stand for what's right, and if it's wrong, I want to stand against it. Make popular that which is good, and, that which is bad, make it not popular. Hey, that's how we roll on the radio. If you find that worthy of your time and your money, please support LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.